Hello, everyone, to Christ's blessing on this beautiful last day of August 2014. We had a very interesting day here down on the coast. Started off with a well-needed abundant rain, and now it's clearing off and steaming up. I know the birds must be happy, and we're going to get out for a little outing this afternoon. We are delighted to have Bishop Dale and his wife Karen with us down here in Aransas Pass. We've been for 2 days enjoying each other's company and fixing up our chapel. So our chapel is almost complete. We were hanging curtains when all of a sudden it was a curtain call and time for our blessing today. So we know that we're in for a very special time where we join actively in a multiplied energy, just being together and together in a place of sacredness in the presence of Yeshua, the Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God, our Creator. If any of you, like I said, if any of you would like to speak on the call, I'm going to, I already have the recording going. Wonderful. Wonderful. I did think ahead. So I'm looking forward to being with you. And I do have one announcement to make before we get into matters of more inspiration. Although I hope this will be an inspiration for some of you also. We only have a few places left for our Christ Blessing seminar that will be happening just a little over 2 weeks from now. I guess it would be 3 weeks because it's on the 20th and the 21st of September, the autumnal equinox up here in the northern hemisphere. And we feel it's okay to say that since it's happening in the northern hemisphere. So this is when autumn begins here, but the whole earth is in balance. And to be at this moment of balance, right beside one of the great waters of the earth, casting our blessings and our prayers into this water has got to make a profound and positive difference in the transformation of events and potentialities on this earth. So those who feel that you belong here, please don't miss your opportunity because we do have limited space. And there will, when we are full, the hotel will force us to say, that's it. And of course I have to save room for myself and Larry and, a couple of our assistants and that's it. So we're almost there. I'm so looking forward to this. We're going to make, such a difference in the world and there's always new information and, a greater evolution of consciousness about what it is we're doing and what Yeshua has called us to do and given us the ability to do. Everyone who returns to another blessing conference comments that, wow, I didn't know there was so much more I could get. And it's so different. It's not baseline content that different, and yet the context, the expanded context in which we learn becomes quite different. I think it's a little bit like reading Love Without End again and again, and it's never the same book twice. And I think it's true with almost everything that Yeshua truly and honestly inspires. Our blessing calls are never the same. The callers who bring their information, it's always new. And what we offer in our inspirational message always takes us to a higher, newer, and even different place of being. So let us just begin this time, since we have no callers wanting to speak. I would like to begin with a prayer to Yeshua and the Holy Spirit. If you will just allow your attention to fall into your hearts and receive and listen. I pray to God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Yeshua, Son of God, our brother, who understands more than anyone all that we can be and the perfection from which we were created. We thank you for being here to offer this blessing and to call us into your presence, to remind us on every level of our body, heart, soul, and being of the perfection in which we were created, that that perfection may be what is replicated and multiplied in our being, in our heart, and in every cell of our body. We ask this in your name, O Holy Christ. Amen. And I would like to say that I am so looking forward to this autumn and experiencing another season in this beautiful place by the sea. I have come to enjoy the change of seasons because it reminds us about the change of seasons in ourself. And sometimes we actually stress over change. Change can actually be a very big trigger point for stress and can bring about a whole new rebirth of issues. It also can be a cleansing point where we decide we just don't need to hold on to anything any longer. We've talked about forgiveness on several occasions in our blessing calls. And it seems to be that I'm directed back to that subject once again about forgiveness as being the way we release the issues and the conflicts and the regrets that we hold on to. And I think one of the reasons we hold on to them is toxic emotions. And you know you're not benefiting by that. Wouldn't it be so much better to release and be rid of negative emotions that affect your health and your peace of mind? But another reason we hold on to our issues and don't release them, don't forgive them, is because we think that somehow if we just hang on to them long enough, we can correct or reverse the consequences that were set in motion by a hurtful or destructive event. Well, I want to tell you something about that. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. I think you've heard me talk about the other things in the line of forgiveness. But consequence. Now, that's a big deal. That's a big thing. Because we, regardless of what it was, if it was an opportunity we lost, we think about the consequences of what could have happened if I hadn't lost that. If we were in an automobile accident and someone was hurt seriously or even lost their life in that, we think about the consequences. We can't let go of that. We think, well, what if that hadn't happened? What if I hadn't dropped out of college? What if I had just never allowed this person to abuse me and I had stood up for myself from the beginning? What would have been the consequences? I think that's one of the main reasons because, you know, we are born to be inherently positive. Despite the fact that we go around fussing and complaining and gnawing on bone, old bones about things we can't change, we are basically hardwired to be children of God. And we want life to turn out well. We don't like it when it doesn't turn out well. And that's what we chew on. And we think, well, if we just hold on to a grudge long enough or a resentment long enough, somehow we'll find power in that to reverse or change these consequences. Well, my friends, I want to tell you something I've learned through many years, through the hard way, hard knocks, but most of all through gentle and perpetual and never-ending encouragement from Yeshua. I've come to realize that there's only one person who can actually alter consequences once they have become collective and multi-layered consequences, like the things that have gone on for years, affected many lives, affected many people. Only God can change those consequences. You can't change them no matter what you do. I'm sorry, you are a child of God, but you weren't born with a magic wand in your hand. You can't wave a magic wand and spray renews it on that old situation and then smell sweet roses. That situation is going to have to work its way out. And the only soul that can work it out is God. Now, God tends to hold back on working things out if he thinks you still need it. If you still need to study that situation, God won't work it out. If you still need to learn something from that situation, God won't work it out. If you still need to grieve over that situation, God won't work it out. God won't take it away. God will not take away those situations until you release them. And then it is amazing what God can do. Things that you would think are now 20 years embedded into consequences of the universe are all of a sudden wiped away, healed clean, cleared up, gone with the sunset, and the energies are renewed, and all of a sudden you get a phone call from somebody you haven't heard from in 20 years. They're wondering how you're doing, and it's like nothing ever happened. The thing is, as long as we hold on to our old grievances, we're sending a signal to the universe, to the Holy Spirit, to God, and to the presence of Christ within, that we're not done with that yet. We've still got more lessons to learn. We've still got more grief to purge. We've still got more whatever we need from that attachment. When we really, really let go, God fixes it then. So don't ever hang on to something thinking you're the one that can fix it. You know, you might be able to fix a lot of things if they're not irreversible damages, like costing someone a leg or a life. Some damages are irreversible, but some are not. And if you don't wait too long, there's a lot of stuff you can fix. And that's where we practice the art of making amends. We look at things that we can fix. And some things we can. Put your energy on those. Focus upon what you can fix. Fix what you can. And then turn over to God the things you can't fix. It's such a point of wisdom to know the difference. To know what you can, what you cannot fix. Things that happened with your childhood friends when you're now 50, 60 years old, you're probably not going to be able to fix yourself. You might be able to put a telephone call in, but you know what I do? Is I would first release it all, turn it over to God, wait 6 weeks, and then make that telephone call. I think you'll get more benefit that way. And, you know, there's a lot of things with our loved ones, like health issues. We try to fix, but we can't, because it's their decision and their life. And their karma, and their consequence. And they have to participate in the reversal there. And you didn't do it. You might feel that maybe you were a player at the game table, but you didn't really do it. You're just there as a participant in their life, and you love them so much you want to fix it. But you can't. When you release that attachment, you grant more power for God to take your place at the table. See, you're actually occupying space. Anytime you have an attachment to anything, you're occupying space. There's sort of a law in this universe that the universe abhors a vacuum, and it also respects time and space displacement. In other words, when you take up space and time, something else will not fill it. The minute you release it, then something else will fill it. Sometimes, like I've seen parenting turn much, much for the better when an enabling parent who through attachment is trying to fix the life of a child, but causing more harm than good, finally just steps back and lets the child fill that space, become the displacement. Or, at the very least, a therapist, or God, whoever can fill that space. You just have to take a look at, it may not be you that can fix that. There's a lot of things we're called to fix in this world. I can tell you from personal experience, many, many years of people calling me and asking me to help them with things from how do I fix my house to how do I fix my marriage, how do I fix a broken heart, how do I reconnect with God. And there's a lot of things I can contribute to. But I have to take a look. It's a matter of humility and integrity to take a look at when I can't do anymore. Have I realized that I have made a connection and I can't do anymore, but I release it now. And if I can make also an announcement to that person, let's say it's a couple and we've been doing couples counseling. And we get to a point where, I'll say, let's do a review. Let's take a look at what we've accomplished. Because I can see we've made some really good progress. And, I'll have them each bring their list of accomplishments and their gratitude list for each other for the work that each partner has put in to making that accomplishment. And then we'll make up a list on what still remains to be done and how they can best go about accomplishing what still needs to be done. And then I'll let them see that I'm not the person that will take them to the next leg of the journey. But we'll locate either another person or another protocol or another agenda, something that they need to do together that will take them the next leg. You see, we all are called to serve one another, but we can't do everything for everybody. We each have our gifts. Even if you're called by Yeshua, you know, being called by Yeshua, I always thought I should be able to do more than I can do, but I have to realize my own limitations. This was a real heartache and challenge that Mother Teresa faced in her life. She thought because she was called by him and a servant of God that she would be able to make remarkable changes in the world. And she did. Look at all the things she accomplished. But she would still grieve over what she couldn't do. It would break her heart that there were still people that had to die in the streets or didn't have a clean bed to be nursed back to health in, or there would be children neglected. It broke her heart, just never ending. She finally did find her peace as she found her humility. And I think this is also part of the Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek does not mean anything at all like self-deprecation or being less than or having a mediocre life. Being meek is really to do your doggone best in everything, to serve to the utmost, to the highest perfection, but to know when you've reached your perfection. And to know that God's perfection exceeds that. It's really another way of saying humility. And you know what the word humility comes from? Humus, which means earth. To realize that no matter how inspired we are, no matter how much we are lifted to higher levels under the highest guidance, we still walk upon the earth. And the earth is where we came to gain our wisdom. This is why in the blessing we have our feet on the earth. And we're reminded always to partake of the wisdom that comes from the magnetic side of our empowerment and our guidance, and not just the illuminated side. I know you've known people who become illuminated, and they have become lost in the ego of illumination. And they've become ungrounded, and even though they speak words of illumination, it doesn't feel very helpful. It doesn't feel like it has anything to do with walking on the earth. You see, what I see in Yeshua is the most divine being I have ever been able to experience. Yet he chose to walk upon the earth among us. And that, my friends, is the perfect example of humility. He chose to eat and not just live on light. He chose to laugh and not just be exalted. He allowed himself to cry and weep for the loss of friends and for our sorrows. He experienced the human life on all levels, including joy, great joy. And in that, he was able to bring to us the best he had to offer on this earth and beyond this earth. And I think that's really, I think humility has a lot to do with the real truth of what forgiveness is. Because we come to recognize that we're not perfect either. Like Yeshua said, let the person who has no sins cast the first stone. You know, he reminded us to be in our humility. And everybody threw their stones down and they stopped throwing them at the woman. Now maybe not all of them forgave her, but they did walk away and they didn't stone her. He was constantly reminding people not to judge another, lest we not be judged, and not to look for the flaw in another unless we miss the fact that we've got a whole log in our own eye. He had a very droll sense of humor, how he would remind us of those things. Again, what is that other than humility? It's walking on the earth, knowing that we are children of God, born in perfection, but still to have a sense of humor, and look, did you know that humor and humility have the same root word? Humor reminds us of our humility. It's really what it's all about. And when we can be humble, we laugh. And then we can truly laugh, like just a belly laugh. We can release. And what is humor but releasing? What is forgiveness but releasing? And we cannot release fully until we know that in many cases, we cannot fix it all. And we know that our releasing summons the universe to come in and fix what we can't fix. It announces to God, please take over. I'm done with this. I wish I could fix it, but I know I'm not up to it. Only you can fix this. Oh, Lord, please take it from here and do what I don't have the strength, the wisdom, or the power to do. And so in that, we are made new. And it helps us to really appreciate how new we can become as we experience that. I noticed we have a caller. I think this is Linda from New Zealand. Is this Linda?
No, it's Helen.
Oh, Helen. Oh, hi, Helen.
Hi, Linda. In relation to what you started off saying about there are things that we can fix within ourselves and things that only God can fix, I think that what happened to me as a child might have a lot of similarities with a lot of other people, and I need to know which part of it I can fix and which part of it I have to ask God to fix. Very briefly, I was born to parents who did not understand the subject of love, did not know how to feel it or express it, And then they sent me to boarding school from the age of 6 right the way through my childhood. So I have this core belief programmed into my subconscious that nobody loves me and nobody wants me, basically. So now I've been trying to work on reprogramming my subconscious mind through self-hypnosis to reverse that. But now I'm asking myself, well, maybe that's something that only God can fix. So my question to you is, for those of us who have these deep core beliefs, what can we do ourselves to reverse them, and what's the best way to ask God to heal them?
Okay. Very, very good question, and an everybody question. To some degree, I think everybody's got it about something in their life. Okay, my greatest suggestion is release it all. Just release it all, because what happens when you even release the part you can fix is it ignites acceptance. Until you can actually accept and be something, you can't change it. You cannot change what you cannot be. You have to first be willing to be the person who just doesn't have that core belief. You have to be able to just release everything and allow yourself to totally be as you are, who you are, the way you are, so that you can accept it. For example, someone who, this is not you, it's probably not anyone on this call, but I have encountered people who think they know something and they don't. And they will, this goes back to when I was teaching in the universities. They would think they know something, they don't, and I'm not going to be the one to tell them you don't know something, because they'll just push back and they'll think I'm being a snooty professor, and they'll get argumentative. I had to set up a situation where they would be able to reflect back in a mirror the fact they didn't know anything about this. If they could accept that, then they would start learning. The minute they knew they didn't know, they would start learning, and then they would learn well. As long as these people thought they knew it, they would never learn. And that's just an analogy that could be applied to anything in life that we're missing. See, even people who think they're really healthy, and then all of a sudden they discover they've got this deadly disease, are surprised to their core, because they might have gone for 10 or 20 years without a physical examination, without ever considering that they might have needed a different diet, that they might have needed a change of lifestyle, and all of a sudden they're hit by a problem out of the blue, because they have this assumption, I'm healthier than God. Oh my gosh, you know, I just love being me. I can eat junk food, I can work for hours overtime, blah 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 blah, and it goes on and on. This is the disease of overconfidence, where we just think we know something, we've achieved something, we have something, and we don't do self-examination. So that takes me to the next recommendation, and that would be, after you've completely released, it's kind of like the old parable of releasing a bird and see if it comes back to you. You may find that these patterns never really touched your soul. They only may have affected some of your emotional imprinting that you've already outgrown anyway. And once you let go of it, you find, you know, I really don't have much of a deep problem there. I just need to have more experience loving people and being loved. So you go out and you get the experience and you do it. If not that, then you take a look at what you do need to do. You could be your own best teacher, but you can't begin to teach yourself until you've got a blank slate. Now, when you're down at that blank, you may not get to that blank slate state very easily, and the best program I know of, other than just surrender to God, the best program I know of to recommend to you is my husband's program, Psychogenesis. Larry was, just is, not was, I mean, he's still doing this work, But at one point in time, he was active out in the world and very famous for being active out in the world. So that's why I use the past tense there. But he created a process called psychogenesis. And it's designed to get people back to that blank white slate. And it's just marvelous how it does it. And we offer those programs on our website, so you might want to consider that. So thanks for that question, Linda. And I'm going to take a question very quickly from Janet, and then we're going to be moving into our blessing. Hi, Janet.
To me recently about forgiveness, and I won't say that I can do it, but I think if we could even think about doing it and do it for a moment at a time, it would help. Is to start each day or each moment like we don't have a past, like we're just new that day. And
yeah.
I think that's what you're talking about with the clean slate. Like start like we're just brand new in that moment and everything else is gone.
Well, that's the goal. That's the goal, and if you can do that by just doing it, then hey, girl, you just take it from there. Most of us can't just arrive that clean and prompt in the moment, but, you know, that's what we're all working on. So we get up in the morning, and we're a new baby.
It's just a moment by moment. It is. It's like I said, you can't do it all the time at one time, but if one moment you can do it, you feel renewed.
You do. Indeed. Indeed, you do. Now, I believe Yeshua walked upon the earth all the time in those moments. There were a few times when he had to go out to the desert, and I think that's when the problems of the world caught up to him. And he didn't want to live in that state of accumulated issues. And he went to the desert and he fasted and he prayed until they were all gone.
Like a purification.
Exactly. It is indeed. Well, thanks, Janet. That was very helpful. And we're going to get all of us ready for the blessing now. And I'm going to, I've got everything muted, so we're just fine. And I'm going to actually move from my computer into our chapel so that we can be offering and bringing this beautiful energy in to our chapel here in Aransas Pass. Looking forward to having as many of you join me as possible at the blessing course. And we're just going to be, we're going to bring people up here. And I see Bishop Dale is already there. You ready to offer the blessing with us, Dale? Okay. Well, let us begin with just be seated. Blessing giver, stand. Everyone else be seated and just take into your heart the prayers of your heart and the joys of your life and your willingness to forgive, your desire and your request to forgive. Be in your heart in prayer, and I will say an invocation to Yeshua, and then the blessing will begin. Oh, I just have to say thank you, guys, for this silk rug. I am feeling this fabric under my feet. Oh, my goodness, what a blessing. And this reminds me, take your shoes and socks off. If you have to have socks, have them out of a natural fiber that still conveys the magnetism of the earth. So arms uncrossed, legs uncrossed. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for all that we shall receive. We know that it will touch our heart with love, our spirit with hope and encouragement, and our bodies with healing. You and the Holy Spirit know what we need, which often we don't even recognize. Where we often have self-doubts, we also sometimes have false confidence. And from the eyes of God, from the perspective of God, you know what we need. And we ask that you fill our cup to overflowing, that we may have more to spare and offer to others. As we walk through this earth, let us become a light to lift up this earth and our fellow man, the animals and the plants and the earth itself. Amen. energetic conveyance is complete. Now go and rest for about at least 7 minutes. Don't think. Just rest and receive, assimilate. If you go to sleep, that's okay. God be with you. God bless you and know that you're very, very loved. I look forward to being with you again next Sunday and for many Sundays to come. Have a wonderful week and a true, deep, profound blessing. Bye-bye from me.